You're listening to The Way Out, creating financial freedom through network marketing with Andrew Logan. This podcast is your step-by-step guide to building and growing your own business and creating passive investment vehicles. If you crave legacy, wealth, and freedom, keep listening.
Hello and welcome to The Way Out podcast. Andrew Logan here. Great to be with you for another episode, episode 301 today. We had episode 300, the live interview with my good friend Dan talking about how to fix your finances. Well, I'm back in the studio, just me, and it's episode 301. It's Thursday afternoon. I've had a massively busy day. Didn't quite get to the podcast until right now, but we are getting it done. Now, speaking of a massively busy day, more on that right at the end. I've got some really cool announcements of what's coming up in the future, as well as just some changes to the podcast, but I'll let you know all about that. But I do want to keep the financial conversation going because, you know, we had the financial conversation with Dan on Monday, and then in the past 48 hours, there's been some big news in the financial world, and especially if you are in the cryptocurrency world. And if you're not sure what it was, if you don't know, or you know you didn't see it, Bitcoin hit right up. It got 68,500, you know, right near that 69,000, right towards that $70,000 that, you know, people are saying, obviously, that we're hitting all-time high territories, and we're sitting there saying, okay, well, where do we go next? Is this it? Is there going to be a pullback? And there was a pullback. We'll get to that in a little sec. But, you know, once we break through that barrier, 80,000, 90,000, 100,000 and beyond, where will it end? And so I thought it was a great topic to talk about today because of, you know, the big news. And yes, it did hit 68,500. It pulled back a little bit as people wanted to sell out a bit and realize some of their profit. I'm in a number of chat threads, and there are a number of people saying, well, yep, if it hits that 68, 69, I'm going to sell some, you know, get a little bit of money out, take some of my profits. And of course, then when lots of people have the same idea, that's when markets, you know, either boom or crash. When lots of people are all on one side of the equation, things happen. And that's what we saw with all of a sudden, just as it hits that peak, it all pulls back because everyone had the same idea to sell a little bit and get out and get some of that money. But we want to talk about, well, what's the future? You know, what's going on? And of course, how do you predict it? But the second thing is, if you've listened to the podcast for a while, if you've known me for a little while, I've always been just openly cautious on getting too invested in one thing. And in particular, is Bitcoin a safe, solid, long-term investment? And to me, it's not an investment. And that's why I've never had anything major to do with it. Yes, I've had a couple of little dabbles that, you know, 5 years, 6 years ago, had a couple of little dabbles when it was in around that sort of $4,000 or $5,000. I was playing around in there up to about $10,000, but I haven't been back in since. And why would that be? And what does that say about, like, the future of the price of Bitcoin? Now, what we have to understand is that I do think cryptocurrency is the future. That doesn't mean Bitcoin is the future. Cryptocurrency is definitely, of course, digital currencies are the future. And really, digital currencies are the present. I mean, we have been using digital currencies for so long. Angie and I sold a house 2 days ago. So again, 48 hours ago, for Angie and I, we sold one of our investment properties for a number of reasons. The repairs, it was just getting a little bit old. The repairs were starting to eat away at the yields, and we figured it was better to put that money into the stock market with, you know, all the other things that are happening in the stock market. So we sold this house. We pulled a nice seven-figure profit out of it. But at no point did the real estate agent show up at our door with a briefcase full of cash. And even when we bought this house, when we bought this house, we didn't show up to the bank with cash. We didn't show up to the real estate agent with cash. It was all done with, you know, signing a few papers, and everything else was done digitally by the bank. Now, we bought that house for $0 down because of LVR and DSR and all those things you need to know if you're a property investor. But the reality is, we put $0 down. Everything else was done with clicks of keyboard and mouse. And then years later, all this money comes into our account, and again with clicks. That was all digital. We've been using digital currencies for a very long time. So of course, the future is going that way. But does that mean every single coin that's ever been created is going to be solid and reliable and long-term? And does that mean, and, you know, call call this, you know, conspiracy or whatever, but I just being realistic, the governments are not going to allow us to have control of our money for too long. You know, the governments are going to step in at some point and say, you know what, we need to regulate these things because we're governments and we don't like our citizens having money that we can't track because we can't tax you on it. And so I think the biggest challenge that the cryptocurrency in its current form will face is when the central banks come in and create the central bank digital currencies and, you know, Bitcoin and whatever struggle because the government's just regulated out of existence. However, in saying all that, let's look at the fact that it's close enough to $70,000 US a Bitcoin. Where is it going from here? Now, what we have to understand is that when you look in any kind of market, a property market, a stock market, a commodities market, a currency market, again, whether it's a traditional US dollar, Aussie dollar, Japanese yen, Great Britain pound, Forex market, foreign exchange market, or a cryptocurrency market, they're both currencies, they're forms of currencies. And so the price is really an agreed value. The house that we sold just 2 days ago, that settled 2 days ago, the price was agreed between a buyer and a seller based on everything else around it. What is the value of this certain house on this amount of land with this many bedrooms in, you know, in this suburb, in this current marketplace? Well, it was essentially an agreed value between us, the buyer, the real estate agent, and everyone else involved. Now, currencies are the same. What is the value of a US dollar? What is the value of an Aussie dollar? Well, that's agreed on a number of factors. A number of factors, you know, when it comes to, let's talk about the Aussie dollar. The Aussie dollar is based on our GDP, our taxation system, our employment numbers, our, like all those the government numbers, essentially, because central currencies are essentially a promise of value. That when I go to the store and I buy $2 worth of something for the kids, there's an agreed value that $2 is worth something. And when it comes to currencies, it's really that the government has the exports, we have the commodities in Australia with our mining industry, and we have taxpayers who go out and have jobs and work those jobs and push the money around and pay the taxes back to the government so that the government can run its budget, and that $2 is worth $2 at the end of the day. It's an agreed perceived value. You know, look up hyperinflationary forces of, you know, African countries and stuff where they've had really poor government and people are literally, you know, changing prices in the store during the day because the value of their currency is so volatile. You hear about stories of, you know, Europe through the world wars and stuff where people were just walking down the street with wheelbarrows full of cash because prices were changing all over the place. So we look at the intrinsic value of Bitcoin, and really what is its intrinsic value as a coin, as a currency? And the answer is zero. It's really cool technology on a great platform of blockchain technology, all that kind of stuff. But its intrinsic value, one Bitcoin is worth one Bitcoin. Now, people give it perceived value in the marketplace and say, well, I believe and I perceive it's worth $68,500 per coin. But that's just an agreement between two people. That's nothing to do with Bitcoin itself. And this is where I've always stayed away. And this is why I don't play the currency markets anymore. If you've listened to, I've talked about it on this podcast a year or two ago. I talked about it on the Eric Ware podcast. If you've listened to that as well, I lost a lot of money in the currency markets many, many years ago. And I learned my lesson. I licked my wounds and I moved on. But the reality is, whether it's Bitcoin, whether it's the US dollar, whether it's a lump of gold, whether it's diamonds, anything that we use for currencies, and especially, you know, black market currencies like gold, like diamonds, like Bitcoin, you know, stuff that's off the government books, essentially, those values are purely perceived between two people, a buyer and a seller, in the same way that our house, really, what is its value? Well, okay, it's got four bedrooms, it's got this, you know, four bathrooms, blah, blah, but what does that really mean? Because there's so many other factors. In a stock, you can calculate those values a little bit more. You can look at, well, what's the profit of the company that I'm purchasing? I'm purchasing XYZ stock of this amazing company called XYZ Company. You know, what does this company actually do? What are the profits? Why would I want to buy a share of this company? What are the earnings per share that I purchase? What is its price versus like the value of the company? And that's again where we look at companies like Tesla that are hugely overpriced because there's a lot of perceived value in people believing what Elon Musk can do and believing in Tesla and the vision of the company and the vision of Elon. But if you actually look at it from a numbers point of view, Tesla is so horribly overpriced for what you are paying versus what the company actually produces on its balance sheet. You know, it's actually about 200 times more than it should be because the rest of that is just built on perceived value of people believing that the future will be better. And that brings us again back to Bitcoin is that it has no perceived value. It has an agreed value of people, it has no intrinsic value because one Bitcoin is worth one Bitcoin. It is worth nothing more and nothing less. The perceived value, the marketplace says, well, enough people think it's going to go up in value that they are willing to buy it, and by more people buying it, that will push the price up, and then that will lead to more people wanting to buy it. Of course, that's great as long as everyone is on that same side of the equation. Everyone's saying it's going to go up, so we're going to keep buying it. What happens when, and it happened just for, you know, a very short couple of hours the other day, what happens when everyone says, actually, you know what, like, I think I've got enough, I need to get my money out, because at this point they've made money, but they haven't actually realized the profit. They've got a potential gain, a theoretical increase in value, but it's not money until they convert it and put it back into their pocket. Now, again, just quick asterisk, you can talk about the irony of I sold Bitcoin, you know, the US dollar's dead, I'm going to Bitcoin, but then I had to sell my Bitcoin to get my US dollars of value out of it. Okay, you know, there's a bit of a conundrum there where people are saying the US dollar is worthless, but hey, Bitcoin's worth 70,000 US dollars. Well, you know, talking out of both sides of your mouth there. But again, if you believe that there are people who will buy it off you at a higher price, then it has a perceived value. And that works as long as there's enough people to purchase it at a higher price. But if we run out of people to purchase it, if we run out of belief that it's going to continue to go up, then what happens? Everyone rushes to the door and gets rid of it. And everyone sells it to take their money back out and realize their profit or realize their loss and just walk away with whatever they can get out of it at the end of the day. But we have to understand that currencies in any form, cryptocurrencies are an evolution. They're a great change in technology in the same way that social media changes how we communicate, but it's still two humans. It's still me messaging someone on the other side of the world. This is still me as a human talking to you as a human. We're just changing the medium slightly. We're just evolving the process. Is there intrinsic value in this podcast? I hope so. Is there intrinsic value in our house because it provides a roof over our head? But really, like, the perceived value is what the marketplace says, and you need a buyer and a seller. So if everyone's buying, the problem is there's no one to sell. If everyone's buying, where do we find the sellers? And then again, if everyone else gets on the other side of the equation and everyone starts to sell, no one's going to want to buy, and it's really hard to sell something that no one wants to buy. And that's when the price has to drastically drop in order to find people that are willing to buy it at a much, much lower price. It has to go on a drastic sale. So where do I think it's going? Who knows? Absolutely no idea. And to me, it doesn't really matter because I don't see currencies as an investment. I see currencies as a storage of wealth, and their value is based on an agreed amount of a marketplace. And I just don't want to play that game because it's not a long-term game. It is a hard game where you are actively buying and selling. You're actively in there every day. If you are already rich and you can just sit on something, and again, we've talked about this in other podcast episodes, you know, the person who buys that block of land back in 1960 and just sits on it for 65 years and then suddenly sells it for $2 million, yes, because they were rich enough to just sit on it. That block of land did absolutely nothing. It just sat there. But they had enough money, they had enough cash flow, they had enough wealth already to understand that the perceived value would be higher later, and they were willing just to sit on it. So if you've got money spare and you believe the perceived value, the marketplace will continue to grow, people will continue to want to use Bitcoin, then by all means, it's a place to invest your money. But for me, I look for things that have intrinsic value, and they're going to pay me money for holding on to them, and I hold on to them and I ignore everything else. Will it go up? Who knows? Will it go down? Who knows? Most likely it'll go up and down and up and down for quite some time. And then I really think the problem will be when the governments finally step in and regulate the heck out of it. And then I think it'll really, really struggle from there. And then I think we'll find a lot of people will struggle to see any of their money, and they'll have a lot of unrealized potential gain that will disappear quite quickly. And again, that's, for me, that's one of the golden rules of investing. If I can't sleep at night because I've got to be watching a currency moving up and down and any kind of thing when I go to sleep, it hasn't really added value to my life. In fact, it's taken value from my life because I'm stressing out and I'm waking up every few hours to check that the thing hasn't collapsed. So guys, in anything you do, do not put a cent in until you actually understand what you're buying. Do not put any money across. It's the overall lesson of the podcast episode. If you don't understand the intrinsic value of what you're buying, if you don't understand how you're going to make money outside of the hope that it will be worth more money later and someone will buy it off you and pay more money later, it's a risky game. It's a speculative game. It's not too far from gambling, and you need to be aware of that. If you have money that you're willing to lose, if you have money spare, then play that game. But I would generally think if you're listening to this podcast, you are still very heavily in a wealth creation phase. You are not in a wealth storage phase yet where, you know, rich people can store their money. Yay, right? It's great to be able to store your money in places. But, you know, when you're starting, when you're launching, when you're building the foundations, you cannot use storage vehicles because it's not going to work. Now, a couple of quick announcements. I want to say happy birthday to Shay. She is a long-term listener and supporter of the podcast, and it is her birthday today. So Shay, down in Victoria, happy birthday to you. I hope you've had a great day with your family. And secondly, I just want to let you know this will be the last Thursday podcast episode for a little while. So I'm going to pull the podcast back to one episode a week for an amount of time. We'll see. We'll see how, I guess, just the next sort of 6 months goes. Not for anything bad, but all, for all good reasons. It's just there's so much going on at the moment, which is really, really cool. Obviously, there's just so many hours in a day and so much time to dedicate to things. But I'm creating a lot more video content at the moment. We're going to be doing a lot more live events like on my wall in the Way Out community, all that kind of stuff, a lot more video training. I've got two courses that I'm creating. I've got another book that I'm writing. If you follow my stories, I've started posting some of the progress of the book. We're about 50 pages in. We've got a live event coming up in September. We've got a Freedom Fest live. So there's just a ton of stuff coming, which is really, really exciting. And it just means, you know, we've got to create a little bit of room in the schedule. So the podcast will come back to one episode a week for a little bit. We will have bonus episodes along the way. You know, if I have a great guest, if we have a Facebook Live and I want to bring you a guest, that will come in as a bonus podcast episode. But these, you know, one-on-one podcast episodes where we talk about financial freedom, where we talk about business, where we talk about all those sorts of things, going to be back to one episode a week for a little while. But as always, I appreciate all of your support over the past 301 episodes. We will see you for a normal podcast episode on Monday and then once a week for that. As I said, we've got some great training coming up. We've got 4 Steps to Leadership happening Tuesday night in the Way Out community. More training, more courses, more events, more books, all that kind of stuff coming. I hope you guys have an amazing, amazing week, and I'll catch you all soon. See you then.
Thanks for listening to The Way Out, Creating Financial Freedom Through Network Marketing. Connect with Andrew on Instagram and Facebook at Andrew James Logan. For your 7-step system to financial freedom and other tools and resources to help you grow your business fast, go to www.andrewlogan.net. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. Until next time, keep moving forward.